Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Michael DeCamp, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host. What's your name?
Nancy DeCamp. Thanks for the wonderful part.
Oh, well, it's completely sincere. And we are joined today by a special guest. But before I tell you who the special guest is, I have to call out and recognize our sponsor, which is Ash and Elm Cider Company on the east side of Indianapolis. They make some of the most magnificent ciders that you could ever want to taste.
And Mike, what are you trying today?
It's called Obscura.
Obscura.
It's a blackberry cider, I believe. Oh. And very, very tasty.
Well, I don't have one right now, but I have one I'm going to try later. You're in the cider of the month or the quarterly club. They have these clubs. You guys should check them out. But they have one that's an old fashioned. And since I like bourbon, I thought, well, let's try that one. So later on today, I'm going to have one of those.
You're going to give that a go.
I'll give it a go and I'll report next time.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's true.
They have a great little restaurant.
Yes.
On the east side of Indy, also on East Washington Street.
I had a great vegan sandwich there a week or two ago, and I'm not vegan, but it was awesome.
Well, I refuse to eat vegan stuff, but they still had great stuff for me,
too. But you get like a bacon cheeseburger.
I had a bacon cheeseburger. So there's something for everyone, folks. Come on out. It's a great place. It's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun and full of tasty ciders. And speaking of that,
yes,
our guest today, I'm excited. Are you excited, Nancy?
I'm very excited.
We have, I'm going to say it wrong.
No, you're not. You'll say it
Andrea.
Right. Yes.
Amoya.
Yay.
One of the co-owners and founders of Ash and Elm Cider Company. She's with us today. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here too.
Well, it's a long time coming. I think we've been trying to get this arranged now for about
months.
6 months.
Yeah.
From around the time Ash and Elm became our official cider of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Right. So. If you catch me when I'm at my computer, I'm right there.
Right.
And if I'm not, then I'm a little bit
back and forth. That's pretty common.
Yes.
That
is something I need to work on.
I can certainly tell when you're at your computer, like bang, 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 bang.
Yes.
It's almost like a chat function.
Yes.
But if she's not at her computer, it might be a while before we get connected.
Life, right? Thanks for being persistent.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And it's great to have you on here. It's great to have your ciders. I love your ciders. So I think this is a great connection that we have. I guess I'd like for you to tell me a little bit about.
Wait.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, almost forgot.
I know.
It's time for.
And we're even prepared. So.
Yeah. And I almost blew it. See, I'm drinking a cider. I've already spilled it.
You can cut this part. We'll start over on that.
No, this part's staying in.
Is it?
Yeah. But we almost forgot the creative indulgences. I will go ahead and Nancy, let you start to.
Okay.
Start it.
Well, I wrote a note so I would remember exactly because most of the time when I'm sharing a creative indulgence, I'm in the middle of it. I haven't finished it. But I'm excited. I finished one of them. In terms of books, I just finished the book Preventable by Andy Slavitt, former head of Obamacare. And you know, regardless of listeners out there, of your politics, he has a very extensive background in healthcare at a national level. And this book chronicles his observations on how the U.S. has responded to COVID, how it's played out. It's kind of a 2020, hindsight's 2020 thing. And things to consider for future postal possible pandemics. So it was very interesting. But then my guilty pleasure, the books that I'm reading right now, my daughters got me interested in books by an author called Sarah J. Maas. A lot of people know the Court of Thorn and Roses, but she has a young adult series called The Throne of Glass, and it's an 8-book series. And in the last 2 weeks, I'm now a third of the way through the fifth book.
You should hear her.
Wow.
You should hear her talking to my daughters.
Yeah, as soon as they show up, I'm like, guys, this just happened. And then the king did this. And then
she giggles.
She did that and everything. So
she literally giggles. I was upstairs hearing her giggle about it.
So it's very entertaining. It is young adult, but it's very entertaining. And mm-hmm. I find Sarah J. Maas does a great job of really pulling you into the characters, doing some world building, because there's kingdoms, there's fairies, there's this and that. Never in my life thought I would be interested in some of this or the genre, but I'm loving it.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I am reading. Well, I've had several creative indulgences since our last episode, probably television wise. It's been 1883 and Yellowstone.
Yeah, I've been upstairs giggling at books. You've been downstairs crying at 1883.
Oh man. Have you seen that show?
Uh-uh.
1883. It's on Paramount Plus. It's like a one season mini series. It's like 10 episodes. I think I cried in like six of them.
Aww.
I mean, it's a devastatingly heartbreaking, but it's also incredibly beautiful and well-written and just a really moving story. But it's the prequel to Yellowstone, which is the big TV series that's so big on Paramount mm-hmm. right now. And so then I've binged four seasons of Yellowstone. I'm down to one episode left, and then I have to wait until they make season five. But that's my TV indulgences. But book-wise, I started reading another really long, thick book. This thing is...
Well, it's a trilogy all in one, isn't it?
2.5 inches thick, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a trilogy. It's called The Huguenot Connection Trilogy by Paul C.R. Monk. And the three books inside the trilogy are Merchants of Virtue, Voyage of Malice, and Land of Hope. And basically it follows a couple and their family from 1680s France. They were being persecuted by the French government, the king, Louis XIV, I think, for being Protestants, and just exactly all of the mess that they've gone through. It's just been kind of an intense, and I'm only
not very far, but
not very far, but it's a pretty intense story already. But that's the Huguenot Connection. And I guess the reason I get that is was it a Christmas present?
Yeah. Christmas or birthday. Might've been your birthday. Your birthday's close to Christmas.
Yeah, so. It's 5 days apart, folks.
Yeah.
So I usually get books for Christmas / birthday, and I don't remember which one was which, but Nancy, I think, bought that for me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, well, I know it's because if you trace my family history back about 300 years, my ancestors came to the United States. The DeCamp line were Huguenots, I believe. So there's a connection there. Actually, there is a French Huguenot church in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, we went there once.
Yes, we visited there. It was pretty fun, pretty awesome. All right, that's my creative indulgence. So, Andrea,
mm-hmm.
do you have one?
I do. So I will preface this by saying that I'm probably at my lowest point of having time to indulge of in course. Anything right now, aside from parenting two small children and running the business. So I really hope to grow in my ability to pursue.
You go through seasons.
Yes.
I'm totally in the season
of like the least capacity
right?
to bring in new things. But I do try to read. And then the other thing is just like the world is so stressful outside of my personal life that I feel like when I do engage with entertainment, it has to be entertainment.
Yep.
It can't be I'm too right. heavy. I'm like so totally escapism. Like
I will never watch 1883.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can turn on
it
the news
and cry.
It
can be intense, but it can't be intense that feels anything close to
give
what
me the fairy
my intensity
and, yeah,
is.
Give me the fairy in the kingdom and the, you know.
Yes. So I've been reading a lot of mysteries, and I read recently a book called We Were Never Here by...
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Andrea Bartz.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting. It was, I think, like the premise hooked me, and I don't know if the rest of the book lived up to the premise, but it was still good. I still am glad I read it, but it was about, these two girls who are longtime best friends, and they, every year as they've grown apart, as they've gotten older, every year they get back together to go on an international trip together. And the last time they went on a trip, there was like a terrible incident where one of them was kind of sexually assaulted, and in the throes of trying to defend herself, the friend comes in and hits this guy over the head with a bottle of wine, and he dies. And they are in Cambodia or something, oh, and wow. they don't know what to do. So they decide in the moment to just like get rid of the body and never tell anyone, because they're not sure, like, what are the police like here? We can't be stuck here forever. It was self-defense, but they don't know us. So they just get rid of this body. So they meet, the book starts when they're meeting together a year later after this tough year of, you know, reckoning with what they did. And it happens again. And the one girl who's kind of the narrator realizes, like, the rest of the book is kind of a psychological thriller with her trying to figure out, like, does my best friend, like, did she cause this on purpose? And did she cause the first one on purpose? And is she actually, you know, she thinks back to these different points in their relationship when kind of tragedies have occurred around her friend. And she's like, is she actually doing this? And did she kill these people? And so anyway, it's kind of an interesting, I just got chills talking about it.
I'm like, I better check my friends.
It was good. Like the premise of just like how you, maybe have to rethink a whole relationship when you get some new information and realize maybe it's not what you seem, but also like if you're outside of it, and just looking in, like the friend is behaving kind of normally, but this girl is like interpreting everything in the worst possible way because she's nervous. So anyway, it was kind of interesting. And then I've been watching the movie or the show Yellow Jackets. It is, I'm only a few episodes in. I'm not sure it'll be my favorite show, but it is very intriguing. And it's about a girls soccer team. Have you guys seen this or heard of it?
No.
It's on Showtime. So I got the Showtime app just to watch it because I get 30 free days.
Yeah.
So I subscribed, and it's about a girls soccer team in the 90s who's flying to, they're flying to the national championship because they're a good soccer team, and their plane crashes. It's kind of like a reverse Lord of the Flies because it's a girls team.
Yeah, yeah.
So they crash in the wilderness and have to survive for 19 months. And you know from like the very beginning, things went down and potentially cannibalism and, you know, survival stuff. And and then the rest of the show is in the present day with several of the people from that team who are still coming to terms and reckoning with what happened and trying to keep it hidden because, you know, they had to do some terrible things. So again, I really like the premise in the show. There's like a bit of a supernatural element and potentially like witchcrafty stuff, and that I'm less interested. I'm more interested in like the social dynamics of something that. So depending on how heavy it leans into that, I don't know if I'll love it as much as I would if it were one way or the other, but I'm along for the ride. It's interesting.
It's graphic. That sounds interesting.
It's graphic. Well, it's gory. It's a little like, it's intense. You know, you gotta like go to bed and be like,
What was that you said a little bit ago about not wanting anything too intense?
But that's not realistic.
It's not day to day.
Yes.
She's not going to
escape. It's an escape.
Escape. Okay. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
I remember in high school, Lord of the Flies, really.
Did I say Lord of the Rings when I was talking?
No, you said Lord of the Flies.
Okay, good. Yes.
I just said Lord of the Flies, right?
You did too. Okay. But then I was like, wait a minute.
Both great, yes. But in their own right. But that definitely left an impression on me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of story that just takes you down to that basic human element, mm-hmm. and what do you do in this circumstance?
Yeah.
It's
totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Well, on that note.
Yes.
Speaking of cannibalism and murder and in Cambodia. Ciders. Yeah, and cider. Let's segue.
Let's find a way to segue over to that. In bringing you in, you know, I guess this podcast is all about creativity. And I think it's really cool when someone creates a business. And, you know, I think the first one I spoke with was your husband, Aaron. Mm-hmm. I ran into him at your restaurant. And also I've looked on your website, and I know that this all kind of sprang out of a trip to Ireland, right?
Yep.
Can you share with us a little bit about that trip and what was it about that trip that, led to Ash and Elm Cider Company?
Sure. This is probably more background than you want, but Aaron and I had been together at that point for 2.5 years, I want to say. And I knew I wanted to marry him at that point. And he was a little more, he kept his cards a little close to himself. And we ended up getting married. So we went there in May. We ended up like having our wedding ceremony the following December, like in December of that same year. So we were 5 months out from our wedding, but he didn't propose until October. So we had just like a very short engagement. Yes.
I believe in short engagements.
Yes.
So once she makes that decision,
so do we.
Just do it.
Right? Yes, exactly. That's kind of what he said. He proposed and then he's like, I think we should do this now. And I was like, okay, let's do it in a month. But anyway, so we were close to like, we were in a close relationship already, but we weren't quite married yet. And we went with two other couples, to Spain for a week and then to Ireland for a week. And the Spain part of the trip, so it was Aaron's best friend from high school and childhood and his wife, and then that best friend's younger sister and her husband. So some of these people who had been friends for a very long time, and the best friend's sister and her husband were living in Ireland for the year, doing a study abroad, like leading a study abroad program.
Yeah.
So they came to meet us in Spain and then they took us back all together to Ireland to explore kind of where she had been living and working for the last year with her family. And, so it was kind of nice. We had a tour guide, a built-in tour guide with her, and she had all these different places she wanted to take us. And, one thing she wanted to take us to was something called the Giant's Causeway, which is, kind of like a naturally occurring rock formation in between like a strait. Mm-hmm. And it's these black rocks that are perfectly shaped hexagons that grow next to each other. It's almost like mosaic, but they're all at different heights, but they fit perfectly together. And it's just like they lead out into the water and then they slowly disappear and then they show up on the other side too. And you can see across. And it was just, she was like, we're going to Northern Ireland simply to see this cool thing. And so it was on that drive from the Dublin area to the Giant's Causeway. We stopped along the way at a restaurant in the middle of nowhere. I think she had heard of it, but she hadn't been there. And, you know, the six of us sat down for lunch and, Aaron's high school best friend, Josh, his wife is named Aaron as well. So she liked cider a lot at the time. The rest of us didn't really know much about it. So she saw cider on the menu and was like, oh, I want to try that. And my Aaron was like, oh, you know, this is the lady, the server, when she took the order was saying something about, oh, this was just made right around the corner. There's a little orchard and a cider place. And so Aaron, my Aaron, who is very into trying, you know, anything, any beverage made locally, especially like right there.
Sure.
Was like, of course I want to get that too, because the rest of it is like Guinness and you're in Ireland. We've already had a bunch of Guinnesses.
Right.
You know, we've tried some of these other, but that was pretty unique as far as all the options went. So he got it and I think I got it too. And it just was kind of like a revelation to us. We hadn't had a cider like that before. I think Aaron had never really had much cider ever. He may have had sips here and there, but he'd never like ordered a cider.
Right. Right.
He was all into craft beer.
Well, and limited options.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And I like one out of every 10 times I would get a drink at a restaurant, I would maybe get a Strongbow at the time. So I had a little more like, oh yeah, I like cider, but not like a lot. So it just really like blew both of our minds and, seemed so different and so like revelatory. Mm-hmm. Like, this is delicious in a way I just didn't expect it to be. And I really like it. And so, you know, that kind of played in the back of our minds. And we had already been talking for a while about opening a brewery someday together because he was so into home brewing. And, we were kind of in this phase, especially like over the next year, as we had been married for, you know, a few months. I was in a job I liked okay, but I didn't love it.
Sure.
And he is an ideas person. So he'd come home one day and he'd be like, I got a great idea. Grilled cheese restaurant. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then like a week later, he's like, I got a great idea. Real estate development. And every time I was like, absolutely, let's do it.
Well, I like that guy.
Yeah.
You would.
And he just like had all of these ideas. And I'm someone who I feel like I can do anything like in a way that not like I'm good at everything, but nothing can be so difficult that you can't figure it out.
Right.
And nothing can be so difficult that you can't look into it and realize quickly whether you could or couldn't. And so like we were in this cycle where he'd bring an idea home. He'd mention it to me. I'd be like, I love it. And then at my work where I was a little bit bored here and there, I would start looking into it and coming up with like, oh, could we really do this? Da, da, da. And so a couple of weeks later, I'd be like, you know, I really think your hop farm idea has great legs. Like, let's pursue it. And he's like, oh no, I decided I didn't want to do that anymore because X, Y, and Z. And it always like left me with this like, oh, what?
Right.
Like I had imagined our life already if we were doing this. And so after, you know, a year and a half of this cycle, I finally was like, look, either stop giving me your ideas or do more than just give me the idea and then forget about it.
Right.
Because I get excited and then it makes me like my job even less, you know, like every time an idea falls apart, I think, and now here I am still answering these same emails instead of this idea I imagined. So I was like, just do me a favor. The next time you have an idea, either don't say it to me, or if you do, like, let me come up with some next steps to pursue it instead of just leaving it there.
You gave him some guardrails.
I did. And it all happened we took a little four day vacation to Arizona in the winter, like a really bad January, in Indy. We went to Arizona for just a little weekend getaway. And I was like, okay, I had been a teacher in a previous life. So I was like, I'm going to do some guided questioning and I would like you to list all the ideas you think you could possibly be interested in. And that's one thing. And then the next, we're going to list all of the skills that we have, both of us. And then the third column, we're listing what our values are. Like, what are we trying to get to if we did do a business? And, you know, hop farming. Oh, and I think the fourth one was like, is there an opportunity business-wise? I was like, hop farming is really cool. And I think there's an opportunity, but we do not know anything about farming at all. And we don't have land and we don't have machinery and we don't have any of the knowledge. So like, we should probably just cross that one off. And so we kind of went through the list and narrowed it down to three ideas that we thought aligned with our skills and our values. And one of them was cidery. And so then I said, okay, we have our three. Let's look into each of these for a month each. And we started with cider and then never did the other two. And we're like, this could really happen.
That's the one you settled on.
Yes. Sorry. That was a long answer.
No, that was great.
That was perfect. That was perfect. It's interesting because two or three things you said kind of spurred my wheels a little bit, but Nancy was laughing a lot because I think that Aaron and I are probably along the same line.
Yeah. We're your predecessors. Except for I'm much less open than you are when it comes to pursuing those ideas.
But I would throw an idea out and she would get all worked up. This is early on in our
Because I used to think, oh, we have to do this. I need to get all the to-do lists. I need to contact the people. I need
I'd already moved on to something else.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it.
I'd already walked it through and decided, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. And I'd never say anything back to
it. I learned that from that point on, until I see the whites of his eyes and he's opening his wallet or going to do something, it's an idea. Don't get worked up until we know it's something.
He's not expecting you to take it that seriously.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
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 You know, it took a while for me to learn that. But
I don't think I did. Oops. Here we are.
But good for you. Hey,
you've got a business going.
That's true.
So what the other question I had was, what actually does it take to actually have a cidery? I don't really have a good concept for that. I know somebody has to grow apples somewhere, but I'm sure you don't have the orchard. You were talking about maybe having one at some point, but what's it take to turn something into cider?
So back then when we were trying to figure that out for us, whether it was realistic or not. So one of the skills that Aaron had when we did that exercise was he had made beer for 10 years and it's a very different process, but there's a lot of overlap when it comes to the science behind it and fermentation techniques and flavor and palate and also cleaning. So much of it are those skills. And it was like, if you can do all of that for beer and do that well, you could probably learn how to do it for a different product, but keep those same skills in there. So that's why we decided to continue pursuing it. As far as now, what actually goes into making cider, we have a juice vendor. We order juice from Michigan. They ship it down in a tanker. So like those big ones on the highway you see, we get that like once a month or maybe even more. Mm-hmm. they hook up a hose to a bunch of tanks. You have to have tanks to ferment in, add your yeast. It's very similar to winemaking. It is a wine. Cider is legally. So it's adding the yeast, letting it ferment, and then monitoring it so it doesn't go astray in the process or get any infections or bacterias. And then it's the palette of like, what flavor profile do we want it to have? How do we add nuance and character? How much sugar? All of that. So it's definitely a high capital kind of business. We had to raise money, like a lot of money. I think we had, our goal was to raise $500,000 before we opened. So I think there are ways to do it much smaller, but we kind of had learned from some of the breweries that we had been pretty actively involved in Indianapolis in the early days, seeing ones that had started really big and seeing ones that had started with a really small and kind of how hamstrung they were.
Sure.
Cause like the margins are very thin.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, you need $20,000 to buy one more tank. And until you can build that up, you can't do it. And then you can't make any more. And then you just can't make the extra money to buy the tank. So you're stuck.
Sure.
And so we had kind of witnessed that close up and decided we want to start with enough to be able to be oversized from the beginning so that we can grow. Mm-hmm. And by then maybe we'll be able to, to grow faster.
Now you talked to, you mentioned, I should say, a range of palates or a range of flavors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you come up with those flavors?
And let's talk about the range of flavors.
Sure. I mean,
you've got some that are pretty sweet and you've got some that are pretty dry and you've got others that are like got a kick to them. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the third person in our business that has been with us since the beginning is Joseph, and he's our cider maker. And, so Joseph has a great palate. Aaron has a great palate. I have a great palate. We both love cooking and food and, you know, have nuanced palates. I think all three of us probably would prefer, if we're drinking a cider on our own, we would prefer dry ciders. That's our preference. That's the Obscura that you're drinking right now is the only one that is kind of made on a large scale with no sugar added. But that's not where Indiana is. And it's, you could, you know, if you plotted the sugar in our ciders versus how much they sell each week, it would be a straight line.
Really?
You know, like the sweeter, the better it sells.
Wow.
And so, you know, I think there was a lot of coming to terms with where is Indiana, what will make our business actually successful. And then over time, we've been slowly adding more dry things in because we feel like similar to wine, you know, you might start drinking it really sweet and over time kind of realize you prefer it a little drier and then a little drier. And so I think that's happening. And I think some of the other beverage trends have also helped people have a better dry palate as well. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just starting to feel like we can do a dry cider and put it out and it won't just like sit there forever.
Well, and I'll say I've tried the dry and I like it.
Yeah.
I tend to not like sweet, but you tend to like sweet, but you still liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like it. We got some of your dry cider in January and, I tried it at that point. And I was a little hesitant because I do tend to have a sweeter palate.
Yeah, you tend to be sweeter and I tend to be. Yeah,
how's the Obscura doing for you?
I'm much more sweeter than you are.
That's why, yeah.
the Obscura is great. I'm enjoying it.
Because that has no sugar added. It's really just the sweetness from the blackberries. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing we're saying. I think a lot of people also, you know, when there's fruit in it, it will read sweeter on your palate than if it's just like the dry. But dry actually has more sugar than Obscura.
Really?
Yeah. So there's all these interesting things. As far as how we come up with new flavors, so we do this program called the Cider of the Month program. And the first of every month, we have a new cider that comes out. And we've done this for 5 years now since, you know, we opened basically. And it's really grown into a very big thing for us. And so usually in like August or September, we'll sit down, the three of us. And, you know, we've collected ideas throughout the year. I see other cideries and what they're making. I know what our customers are like, and I know what I think they will like. And so we just kind of have this brainstorming meeting. We list out all the different cider ideas we have, and then we kind of try to pick something that makes sense in the season. So, you know, if we're going to have something, super refreshing, like with lemons or lighter, we would put that in the summer. And so, you know, we kind of work on the seasonality of it, the months, and then we take a step back and think like, what other ciders do we have at that time? Is it like two blackberry ciders the same month? And so there's like some work that goes into it, but I really like it. I feel like I have some of the best ideas, even though I don't make the cider. Like margarita was my idea.
That was a good one.
Yep. That was one of our most popular. I think blueberry lavender was my idea. Aaron and Joseph are kind of more purists. So they're always like, we want to pick one flavor to put in the cider. Right. And I'm like, if you make a cider and it's called Peaches and Cream, which is our next cider of the month, it will sell so much. Please just listen to me. I know you'd rather just do peach, but if you make it Peaches and Cream, that it will sell 10 times more. So they've started to trust me.
So you just gave us something to look forward to.
Yeah. April cider of the month.
Yeah. So all of you listeners out there, you need to join up with the Cider of the Month Club so that you can get the Peaches and Cream cider coming up.
Yes.
Next month. Mm-hmm. So,
well, one of the things I love too, sorry for interrupting. No, I'm very good at interrupting.
That's one of her skills.
Is just how it's all natural.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. But one of the things that stuck out to me, and I don't know if you still do this with the level of production you're at now, but that you hand peeled every lemon that went into the fleeting youth.
Yes. We used to do that.
When you started out,
and then Fleeting Youth became our runaway number one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we can't do that.
The second step.
Come here, boys. Yes. Let me show you how to peel.
They would sit at a table and peel zest limes or lemons for a whole day just for one small batch. And now we make much larger batches. So it's not. So we got our intermediate step was called a rotato.
Okay.
And it's a potato peeler. So you have like a little thing that sits on a tabletop and you stick a potato in, there's like a pin on the bottom. You stick the potato on it and then you put a pin on the top. It's like an arm and then you push the on button and it just spins in a circle and it peels the potato for you.
Right.
So we use that for the lemons for a long time.
But, yeah. Wow.
So that zested the lemons for us. And then the third and final iteration is we got a fancy juicer and we just juiced the lemons whole and include the pith in it. So,
but you'd have to, if you're growing like that, you would have to adjust.
Yeah.
How you're.
Yeah. But every time we're like, I hope people can't tell that it's now there's the juice and the peel instead of separately. And we're like, no. And the final
love
taste,
and care is still there.
Yes.
Right? Well, and the point is it's real lemon.
Yes. We're still buying a box of lemons and not buying lemon drops or something.
It's not some chemical that's formulated to taste like lemon. It's actual lemon.
And it's honestly very surprising to us how many breweries that do kind of fruited beers just add like seasoning packets to their beer instead we use pureed stuff, whole fruit purees when it's not a fruit that we can get ourselves here. But a lot of brewers will use just like flavoring.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. And like sometimes you can tell and sometimes you can, and maybe it doesn't matter to them, but it does matter to us. I think because we are a fruit beverage from the start.
Right. Right.
It feels like if you put just like apple drops and lemon drops in a thing, it wouldn't make sense to use real apple juice and then lemon drops, right? Like then you're kind of dividing your...
For consistency sake.
Yeah.
So what are your top three?
Of our regular stuff, Fleeting Youth is our most popular. Sunset is close second. That's our tart cherry cider.
Yep.
And then Autumn Tide, our fall seasonal, which is a pumpkin cider.
Really?
That one, oh my goodness.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
It,
you put pumpkin, you go to the store during the fall and everything's pumpkin.
Yes. And we did it. I think we were one of the first places to make a pumpkin cider. That was our first seasonal, the first year we opened. And now you can find pumpkin ciders a lot more places than that. But, that one in harvest season, when that is open and people are already like cider, apple orchards, all of that, we made more Autumn Tide in 6 weeks than we had made of dry the entire year.
Wow.
And it's just like, crazy pumpkin season. So yeah, that would be our most popular seasonal.
Wow. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we like the Fleeting Youth a lot.
We do like Fleeting Youth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I guess number one seller. So I noticed on, I can't remember what it was now, but you have a favorite and Aaron has a favorite.
Yes. On our website.
Is it the same as what's on the website? Has your palette changed?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember what I have listed as my favorite. I know his is Del Camino, which is our summer seasonal,
right?
Which is a pineapple one. I like that one a lot too. I think I listed Obscura because I also really like red wine and it's the most red wine-ish
to me. On your website, it still says the pineapple one.
Does it? Okay.
Does it? Yeah.
I also like that one a lot. Those two are probably my favorites. Yeah. Yeah, our spring seasonal and our summer seasonal.
I was going to say, I've had a lot of fun trying the different flavors. You know, it's just like, oh, well, what? It's like getting a box of chocolates. And is this one a coconut cream or a strawberry cream or is it a caramel?
Exactly.
It's been a fun adventure. And I know we first learned of ash and elm actually through our daughters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they talked about, oh, some of their friends just love ash and elm, love ash and elm. And for whatever reason, I went on the website and I saw that you were starting the Cider of the Month Club. And I was like, great gift idea for my husband that he gets something all year long kind of thing. And that's, we started that. And I was like, this is good. And then we stopped when we would come to pick up our order. Mm-hmm. We'd like, well, let's just get a bite to eat while we're here. And love the food choices that you offer.
Thank you.
Well, and that's expanded even.
Yeah, it has.
Since they moved to the new location.
Because you can go to some breweries and you can get a pretzel. Mm-hmm. Or that you can go to some places and they have pub food, but it's not good pub food because their focus is on the beverage, right?
Yes.
But I feel like your restaurant does a great job as well, that the food that you have there is quality done and it matches.
To be honest, the pandemic delayed our restaurant by almost exactly a year. We were supposed to break ground on the new restaurant on April 1, 2020. Mm-hmm. And so mid-March we contacted our landlord and we were like, hey, how would you feel if we maybe like push this back a few months? Because I don't know if, you know, we had to furlough all our employees. We couldn't even be open. So we were like, we don't want to start spending tons of money on this new restaurant yet.
Right.
We can't, we just can't. And they were very understanding and they said, yep, we'll touch base again in July and then we'll touch base again in August and we'll touch. So it got pushed back an entire year. But honestly, that 1 year was super helpful to us to help clarify the vision of the restaurant.
Sure.
It gave us a little more downtime, the pandemic and just kind of the slower pace of everything, even though it was very, very stressful. We could go back and forth. We had always been kind of back and forth with each other on how good we wanted the food to be versus how small the menu versus how the price point versus, you know, all of that stuff. And so we really got to hone that in during that time. And I think it was good to have that time.
Yeah.
I would not wish the pandemic to return to the way it was in early 2020 when it felt just so scary and stressful. But that was one of the good things about
it. There have been good things that have come out of it. Whether it's just that thought, that slow down, that consider what are my priorities, what's really important to me, you know? Mm-hmm. There have been some good things that have come out of the pandemic for sure. So your menu, you tend to have different, it's not like sandwich or entree of the week or the month, but you tend to rotate some things in as well, which I find interesting. That kind of mimics what you're doing with the ciders as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And our chef Tracy, I think our plan, and we're still figuring it out. We've only been open since August. So we're still kind of coming up with the structure of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we plan to have at least quarterly, like full menu revamps. We'll keep the very most popular things on there because people would be sad, but generally like the entrees would switch out some of the sandwiches, some of the appetizers. And then we do a monthly brunch and that one is paired specifically with the cider of the month that month. Mm-hmm. So our monthly brunch was actually yesterday. I think, and then she likes to do seasonals. And I think one of our goals this year is to get those seasonals to line more up with that cider of the month as well.
Yeah.
Even though we don't want to be too heavy handed with another creative person and say like, our cider of the month is blackberry. So everything you make has to be blackberry.
You could overdo it.
Yes, you could totally overdo it. But like helping her learn more and us learn more about how to incorporate some of the ciders into cooking or to make things that complement, you know, we go to all these courses at CiderCon, which we go to every year. And there's always courses about
do people wear
food
costumes?
Pairings. No,
I'm an apple.
It's just everyone is walking around dressed as an apple.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Maybe not, but
so
CiderCon.
Tell me about where all you're selling. How do people get Ash and Elm ciders?
So we are distributed statewide by our distributor. We are in most liquor store chains. So you'd find us at most Big Reds, most Payless, We have a few grocery stores that we've been in, Whole Foods statewide. And then last fall we dipped our toe into Meijer and Kroger, both, and like very small scales, but both of them felt like it did well enough that we're getting added to a bunch of Meijer and Kroger stores this spring. So starting in the next couple of weeks and months, you'll be able to find Sunset and Fleeting Youth at almost all the Meijers in the state, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, really.
And Kroger is still keeping a small footprint. They have 8 stores that we're in, but this spring we're going to be in 8, or they're going to have all 4 of our flagships in each of those 8 stores. So hopefully after that, by next fall, they reset every spring and fall. Mm-hmm. Hopefully next fall, they're like, okay, these are the ones that do well, and this is where we want to put you in all 40 stores.
That's you said goal. Your 4 flagships. Are those the flavors, the 4 flavors?
Yes.
So obviously Fleeting Youth, mm-hmm. Sunset. Mm-hmm. What are the other two?
Dry and semi-sweet.
Okay.
The ones that we have all the time.
Yeah, like both of those as well.
Yes.
Now, what if someone is listening to this and they're not in Indiana? Because we have listeners
all over.
Mm-hmm. So is there a way that they can get the cider if they're somewhere else?
I'm so glad you asked.
There's a method to my madness.
Yes, there is. So the Cider Club that you guys have been talking about, we do it as a subscription service and we ship to 37 states. So you can sign up on our website, ashandelmcider.com/buycider, and you can sign up for the club. And then you get these quarterly shipments and throughout the year, you'll get to try all 12 ciders of the month and each of the 4 seasonals. You won't get the flagships with that, but you'll try the 16 different ones that change every year. So that club is shipped to 37 states and is quite large, shockingly to me. Like, I haven't advertised it that much, but somehow we have about 600 members.
Which
is a lot. Yeah. And 350 of them are outside of Indiana. So somehow the word has gotten out. And then you can also just, if you don't want to sign up for a year long commitment, you can just go online and order to get shipped to your house, whatever you want, anytime.
Now you're limited to 37 states because of law, right?
Yeah. We have a third party kind of tax and compliance people that they hold distribution rights with those 37 states. So because we're linked with them, we have to go where they do that. If we wanted to, we could go individually to each of those missing states and set up our own, but like
that's work.
So friends, if
I have fish to fry and that's lower.
Folks, if you live in one of the additional 13 states that they can't ship to, then you have to have your buddy approved state.
Yes.
Order for
If you live in New Jersey, just ship it to Pennsylvania and drive over there and pick it up.
There you go.
Get your friend.
Now, what about foreign countries? Can you ship over outside the U.S.?
I have not looked into that at all. So I'm sure you can. You have to, like, people import stuff all the time. I've never looked into it. I have no idea. But
because my friend,
thanks for giving me a new idea.
My friend and fellow author Marilyn Crete lives in
Canada.
Lives in Canada, northwest. What is it? What's that? Alberta.
I don't remember.
I think she's in Alberta. It's out there near Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, right. My geography is messed up today. I'm
hitting
Anyway, British Columbia, perhaps. But she lives out that area. And you never know. Marilyn might want some cider.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So, Marilyn, if you're listening.
Do you create any non-alcoholic ciders?
No. And we have thought about that. I had a really kind of touching and cool email from someone once that was like, hey, I love your ciders. I've been a fan for a long time. I've recently started to come to terms with the fact that I think I'm an alcoholic and I think I can't drink anymore, but I love your space. I love your brand and I love you guys. And I would love to be able to still engage with you, even though I'm not drinking anymore. Would you ever consider non-alcoholic ciders? And I took it really seriously and sent him like a nice long letter back and appreciated him reaching out. We have so many things we want to do and that's one of them. Aaron being Aaron wouldn't want to just have apple juice on the menu and be like, here you go, grown up. He would want to ferment it and then like remove the alcohol through science and then add the same flavors back in to make like the non-alcoholic version of Fleeting Youth that tastes as similar as possible. And so to me, I'm like, oh, why don't we just have some apple juice, cut it with some club soda, add like a little bit of raspberry syrup. And it's not like that exact thing, but at least it's similar and it's an option. And he's like, no, I don't want to do it unless we like really make a non-alcoholic cider.
You want to do it right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things about having a partner like him is that that wanting to do it right means we probably won't get to it. You know, yeah. And so it's like,
at least not right away,
at least not right away until we've gone through all the things on the list that we still want to do.
We joke, the more you share about you guys, and we've Mike's had a lot of ideas about us going into business together. And I'm like, I don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
I don't want because for that reason. Yeah. Some of those reasons, it's like,
it can be.
We say if you want our description of us is if you want something done right according to the book, you have Mike do it. Mm-hmm. If you want it done today, have me do it.
Yes,
which can really work, but
yeah,
we just haven't invested in that.
Yeah, it's been a good partnership. Honestly, I think it was a easier partnership for me before he left his day job. Because now he's more involved in the day to day, and so like the things I need to move on, I feel like I should run by him. Whereas before I didn't because he was doing his other job. And so I feel like I just get stopped and paused a lot more frequently. Yeah. But it's maybe I was just talking to someone else about it today. Maybe I just need to accept that like, this is my domain in the company and that's yours. And we don't have to actually run every decision by each other. We can just run the big ones by each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can still have my velocity and you can still have your perfection.
Well, it's working to your strengths.
Yes, exactly.
As well as still giving you room for creativity in your approach and how you're doing those things.
Right.
Okay. It is, it's coming down to the time where we need to probably think about doing the random question, mostly because I want to make sure that we honor your time commitment and time limit.
Thank you.
Because we could conceivably keep this conversation going for quite a while.
Yeah, we could. I'll come back.
There's a bunch of
kids that will be stranded by themselves at school.
The kids could come and be on the show.
Oh my goodness.
We actually did that. If you went back and listened to Sierra.
Although her daughter's a little bit older than.
Yeah, Michaela's a teen. Andrea, she's like 13 or something, I think.
Yeah. But, Mine is 4.
Yeah.
He has a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. He would probably have a lot of interesting things to say.
That would be nothing but awesome.
He was helping when I picked up some cider in January, he helped load the cart.
Oh,
yeah. That's good. Yeah.
So let's do the random question.
Okay.
And you get your choice. You get my questions or you get the official game question.
Of course I have to pick the homemade one.
Pull one out.
Okay.
And we all three have to answer it.
All right. The question is, which superhero is your favorite and why?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Not immediately, but I could answer Spider-Man and give a good answer for it.
Well, go for it.
Okay. It's because my 4-year-old loves Spider-Man right now. And he just this morning was wearing his Spider-Man shoes and he came upstairs all dressed, and getting him dressed every morning to go to school is like not an easy part of the day.
Right.
It's a very hard part of the day, but he came up fully dressed with his Spider-Man shoes on. And I was like, hey, you look awesome. Look at you all dressed, ready to go. And he's like, yep. And then he pulled his pants down and he turned around and he slapped his butt and he's like, and he's on my underwear.
That's great.
He's super into Spider-Man and, you know, promising a Spider-Man story or a Spider-Man show or Spider-Man shoes or underwear is one of the most motivating things to him right now. So I love Spider-Man too.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Awesome. Nancy?
Well, I have to go with Wonder Woman because she has awesome accessories and they're very functional as well. You know, the truth lasso and the bracelets that, you know, protect her as a shield from bullets. Mm-hmm. So
you're going with Wonder Woman.
I'm going with Wonder Woman.
I have to be careful how I answer this question.
Uh-oh.
Because I usually pick Black Widow because it's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's no other reason, really. Or Wonder Woman because, you know, who that is and no other reason, really. And those are not healthy for my relationship with my superhero partner here.
There you go. Now you're getting along the right place.
There you go. So I think probably... And thinking through it today, probably the Hulk.
Mm.
You know?
Why the Hulk?
Don't question me. You're supposed to explain why.
I
get angry when you question me. And you wouldn't like me when I get angry. you know, I don't know. Because he's so just so absolutely incredibly strong. And
yeah.
And a normal guy when he's not
just,
in that.
He's just a regular average scientist.
Yeah, there you go.
So he probably would make ciders on the side, you know, if he wasn't saving the world.
There you go.
So there you go. But I like Bruce Banner, and I like the Hulk.
Okay.
That's my answer today. Ask me tomorrow. I have a different one.
Aside from Black Widow and Wonder Woman.
I need to get some Hulk underwear. All right, folks, this is another episode of the Cutters Notch podcast. Did we give the website for the Ash and Elm? Did we give that?
We'll give them the website.
I'll give it to you again.
And then address.
Yeah. So the website is www.ashandelmcider.com. It's all spelled out in one word. And then our address is 1301 East Washington Street, which is just east of downtown Indianapolis.
Very nice location.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much today for coming.
Absolutely.
Reach out to them, folks. Order you some cider. Get on that Cider of the Month Club.
Yep.
You will not regret it.
If you're out, you're in one of those states that can't ship to, plan a road trip. Come visit us.
Yeah.
Come visit us and we'll introduce you.
Yeah. There you go.
Great.
Andrea, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
And folks, listen in on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2. A collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.